About 2.5 years into my priesthood, I received an invitation from one of my priest buddies. He was going to lead a pilgrimage to the Holy Land with a group, and he asked me if I would go with him and help him as kind of a chaplain for the group. And my first inclination was to say, no thanks. I'd already been to the Holy Land as a seminarian, and it was just a few years prior, and so I'd been to the holy sites of Israel and Jordan and seen all of those amazing things where Jesus walked and taught and lived and where all his ancestors lived. I'd been there, and it was amazing, and I thought, 3.5 years later, nothing's probably changed. And I thought, I think I'd pass on this one. But then it came to me, well, what if my parents would want to come along too? So I considered it and gave them a call and said, hey, I got this invitation to go to the Holy Land. Would you all want to go? And I barely got the question out. Yes, of course. We'd love to go. We'd love to join you. So I said, okay, I'll go. My parents will go and we'll have this second trip. And so we fly over from the United States into Israel, and we gather as a group, and we go through each site. We went to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born in the stable, and the shepherds and the angels all came. We celebrated Mass there in Shepherd's Field. We visited the places where Jesus taught, the Sea of Galilee. I was able to hear confessions right on the shore of the Sea of Galilee as the water was crashing in on the shore, was able to dispense the mercy of the Father right there. And it was such a remarkable experience. We visited Cana, where Jesus made his first miracle of changing water to wine. I was able to renew my parents' wedding vows right there at Cana, where Jesus visited a wedding. We visited Calvary, where he gave his life on the cross, and I celebrated Mass right there on Calvary, and then again, Mass at the site of the empty tomb. Beautiful experiences as a priest to walk through these sites, but even more beautiful to walk through them with my mom and with my dad. That's what I'll treasure. Walking through these sites where Jesus walked and taught and lived with my own flesh and blood. And the one place that stands out among all those I mentioned, the one place and the one experience that I'll hold on to for as long as I live, was in Nazareth. Nazareth, of course, the hometown of Jesus, the place where he was raised by Mary and Joseph. And we were visiting that day in Nazareth, and we went to the place of the Annunciation, and then we went to another smaller church, less people there, more quiet. And this church was built on the site of the home where the Holy Family lived, where Mary and Joseph raised Jesus from a boy all the way into manhood. And it was built on the site of their home, but also on the site of Joseph's carpenter's shop. And it was meaningful for me because I'm the only son of a carpenter. My dad's a wonderful woodworker. And so I'm able to visit this site with my dad as the only son of a carpenter. And the moment that, and that experience that I'll remember and treasure for the rest of my life was quiet, and it was almost missed. I was there in the church with my dad, and he goes up to a statue similar to the one we have here in our own church, a similar statue of Joseph holding an adolescent boy, his son Jesus. And my dad had this quiet moment just in front of the statue. I don't know if anyone else saw it. He was just standing in front of this statue looking at Joseph and Jesus. And I was looking at my dad, looking at Joseph and Jesus. And both of us, I think, having a profound, mysterious experience, an entrance into the mystery. What my dad couldn't see was over his head was a mural on the wall, and it's another scene from Joseph's life. But at the very end, Joseph is on his deathbed, and he's surrounded there on his deathbed by his only son, Jesus, and by his wife, Mary. And they're there with Joseph in these last moments of his earthly life. And I was watching my dad in this experience, and I could tell that he was looking beyond the statue. He was gazing, he was peering into the mystery. And I was gazing into that similar mystery, the mystery of a father and his only son, and the love that they share. That's the beauty of Christmas. That's the mystery that we celebrate today. It's why we're so joyful. A father, his son, and their love. That is the essence. That is what's most important in all the world. It's why the world stops on Christmas, to marvel at this mystery. St. John Paul II had a great quote about this mystery, and we ought not to miss it. He said, "Everything will turn out to be unimportant and inessential except this." I ought to pay attention to what he's going to say. That's a bold claim. Everything else will be unimportant. Everything else inessential except this. Father, child, and love. Father, child, and love. He says, this is most important. This is most essential. And then he goes on. And then looking at the simplest things, we'll all say, could we not have learned this long ago? Has this not been embedded in everything that is? Father, child, and love. That's the mystery of this day. That's the mystery of our faith. God the Father sending his Son in love. But we ought to question, how is it that the Father is so important? He's so hard to grasp. Even in the gospel, we hear that no one has seen God. No one has seen the Father. He's somewhat mysterious. He's somewhat evasive. We can't see him. We can't grasp him. We can't quite comprehend or understand him. Even in our church, you know, we have stained glass windows of the saints. We have statues. We have lots of images. But it's hard to picture the Father. God the Father, where is he? What's he like? We do have one image in the whole church that depicts the Father. The Father has no body. He has no material form, so it's hard to imagine him. But an artist painted an image of the Father right up here in the sanctuary. It's these two hands reaching down from heaven. That's the artist's depiction of what the Father is, who he is. He's these two hands reaching down. Now, I can't help but think of this meme that's been going around over the last couple years when I think of these hands. The meme, maybe you've seen it, it's of a person drowning. They're completely helpless. They're reaching out and they're saying, "Help, help, I'm drowning." And then a boat comes by right next to them and someone reaches over the edge of the boat with a hand and just gives them a high five. Is that the Father? Is that what the Father's hands are doing? Just giving us a high five or a thumbs up, saying, "You can do this"? I don't think so. Hardly not. The Father's hands aren't just giving us an encouragement, some empty sign or show. The Father's hands are reaching down to save us. The Father's hands are reaching down with a gift. That's what his hands are doing. The Father wants to give a gift. And what's the gift of the Father? The child. The Father gives his Son. It's what we have committed to memory in that famous line from John's Gospel, from John 3:16. For God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that you and I, when we believe in him, might not perish, but might have eternal life. The Father's hands are giving. The Father's hands are saving. He's the one who orchestrated all this that we celebrate today. He's the one who's somewhat unseen. He's the great planner. He's the one who set in motion all that we see in the nativity scene. The manger, the shepherds, the angels, the magi. They're not the most important characters of the story. It's the Father. The Father, who can't be seen, set all this in motion. He sent his Son, his only Son, so that we would not be alone, so that we could be saved, so that we could reach out and grasp that hand and be saved from our drowning. And the child Jesus spoke of this all throughout his life. He was always pointing people to the Father. Jesus, he has some great lines about the Father. He said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And he said in another place, the Son can only do what he sees the Father doing. It was the child, it was the Son who imitated the Father. They were so intimately connected. Jesus, who gave us that great parable of the prodigal son, the one who squandered his inheritance, who left home and was feeding on gross things with the pigs, but then came to his senses, and when he returns home, who was on the edge of the property waiting for him? The Father. And then Jesus, who gave us those great words that we pray every day, we call out to God, and we can call him our Father. Jesus, the Son, shows us the way to the Father. And so, brothers and sisters, these are the great mysteries we celebrate, the most important, the most essential, the Father, the child, and love. This is what we celebrate at Christmas, that because of the gift of the Father, we can be reconciled. Because of the gift of the Father, we can be incorporated into the love of God, immersed in it, surrounded in it, penetrated by that love. We're not just bystanders of the Father's love. We're not just looking at the Father and his Son like one would look at a statue. We're incorporated into that love, into that relationship of the Father and the child. That's what we want to grasp. That's what we want to understand. We become members of God, members of his family, adopted sons and daughters of the Father. In this gospel today, we hear John talk about this, that anyone who accepted Jesus was given the power to become a child of God. Anyone who believed in his name, anyone who was born of God. That's you and I, brothers and sisters. That's us in our baptism. God adopts us into his family. He calls us his own. He gives us his love. And so let us open our eyes to this reality. St. Augustine had a great line that I'll give you here. He says, it's of no advantage to be near the light if the eyes are closed. We celebrate the mystery of light today. The mystery of the light breaking into the darkness, the dawn of our salvation. The light is here. It's in front of you. But it's of no use if I keep my eyes closed. So let's open our eyes. Let's open our hearts to this great gift of the Father, the child, and the love, that we too would be called sons and daughters of God.